Hi, Dr. Pollock here. This episode of the PEMF Healing Summit is about PEMFs and peptides. The title is called A Match Made in Heaven for the Treatment of Everything from Severe Illness to Nagging Injuries to Anti-Aging and Rejuvenation. Now, there's a title. And I'm not going to tell you who he is because he can do a much better job than I can. So, Kent, if you don't mind, please tell us about yourself.
But I think I'm kind of like the standard so-called, we were talking about this alternative, I hate that term, functional medicine, integrative, whatever, is I was a very closed-minded standard physician and started getting very sick through medical school, through residency, and going to the doctors there. And they're like, oh, you're stressed. You're like depressed. I'm like, no, I'm not. I can't function. And oh, here's some antidepressants, which didn't work, of course, was horrible. And I'm like, I don't think I can practice medicine. And so I went into, I figured, okay, what can I maybe do? Because talking to a patient was so exhausting. Like any noise, any just interaction would kill me. And just sweating constantly. And so I went into anesthesia figuring, okay, they're asleep. I can deal with them, right? But I forgot about getting up early, you know? And it's no offense to anesthesiologists, but it's pretty mindless, you know? But so then people were talking about some alternative conferences and I'm like, oh, I can't let anyone know that I'm going, right? And so I go and I'm like listening. I'm like, this is more evidence-based than the crap they're teaching me in residency, right? And I look at all my hormones, they're like the lowest 3%, lowest 5%. Oh, you're fine. You know, you're fine. Oh, you have no immune system, but it's in the normal range, you know? And so went on, all the hormones, testosterone and growth hormone. T3 was a savior for me. A little cortisol, like I did a review article, HPA axis dysfunction and chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and found that, you know, 97% of those patients have adrenal dysfunction. The fibromyalgia patients just have it in the hypothalamus, and the chronic fatigue have it in the pituitary, you know, in the pain centers and hypothalamus. But, and that's what my big focus was, fixing people with hormones. So I took went and said, I'm getting out of anesthesia. I hate this. And went into family practice, took over a family practice, and immediately converted to cash. And, you know, people think like, oh, greedy. It has nothing to do with that. You know, I could not stand for the short period of time I took insurance. I'm like, this is crazy. Like I have to see a patient every 8 minutes, you know, I can't say hi in 8 minutes. And just really doing hormone optimization, T3, which is kind of, you know, my passion, you know, no one thing fixes anything, but when you're early on, you find something that works. It's, you know, and sort of the hormone optimization, thyroid optimization clinic, and people were just lining up, you know, and we switched it over to cash and then moved out to California. And I wanted to join the Independent Doctors Association, who they're trying to not take cash. You take like 5% cash, 10%. I said, I'm taking no insurance. They're like, we're not letting you in. You can't do that. That's ridiculous, you know. And we've been doing it ever since. You know, you give a better service and you're going to get the patients. So, so basically I started feeling so much better doing this, whole, you know, kind of holistic, fixing my gut, doing a lot of IVs, ozone, you know, again, thyroid, testosterone, you know, just basically kind of doing everything, and felt fine, but then went through a nasty divorce. You know, she hired Gloria Allred as a consultant, and then got in a fight with her because she wasn't tough enough. But anyways, so that was brutal. The phone would ring and I just would just freak out, you know, just sweating. And then I went into heart failure. I could not walk up the stairs. I couldn't stand up straight. And I'm like, I cannot live like this. I go to the cardiologist and he's like, there's a lot of damage, a lot of scar tissue. And maybe in 10 years, you can get 10% better. I'm like,
how old were you at the time?
This is probably 8 years ago. Yeah. And so I go, well, either I'm going to, every Halloween was just going to off myself because, and I knew I had Lyme. My blood was so thick, you could not take it out with a 14 gauge catheter. It was just like motor oil. Right. And so I'm just, you know, in your panic, you can't get anything done. You can't sleep. You can't stand up. You can't lay down. You got restless legs. I was taking 100 showers a day, but it's miserable. And so I said, well, I'm just going to go around the country and just find every treatment I can and go to other countries, and found a lot of great treatments. A lot of things work, and really found, you know, looking back, it's the things that modulate the immune system. And you look at, you know, ozone, with the peptides. When I was in Europe, I didn't think they do anything. And then 3 days later, probably 5 days later, I just walked up the stairs, you know, and I'm like, this is really weird. And I didn't expect that to do it. But, and I love, I went down to Mexico and did like plasmapheresis and apheresis with dendritic cells that we would stimulate to Lyme antigens. Then we tried to freeze it, which we screwed it up. But it was, I was feeling better. I could function, you know. And then so really started just bringing in, so I found peptides, but I couldn't use them on my patients. So it wasn't allowed. And then about a couple of years later, it was okay. And it's just transformed our practice. I mean, it is, and every doctor we train, and I had 22 centers that we opened up, and then we did 9 franchises. First one by a franchise was a hospital. And turns out they went crazy. They said, we weren't practicing evidence-based medicine. So they go, you got to get out here.
The hospital said that.
Said that. And I was stupid and thought that's what really they thought. So I go out there and show that we're practicing evidence-based medicine. They are not. And which was the wrong thing to do, because they were just, it turned out at the end, like, you think you're better than us, you know? And, but it was a small town, an hour outside, two hours outside of Kansas City. And a guy who lived there told me when we started, he goes, they won't let you in. I'm like, what are you talking about? They love us, but, you know? And so I go, and immediately the rheumatologist, as soon as I start speaking, just stands up and goes, I'm not listening to this bullshit, you know, and walks out. And then the cardiologist is playing the Fox News piece where I said I wouldn't give my kid the H1N1 vaccine. And the endocrinologist was so pissed because he got 24 calls about reverse T3. Which he didn't believe in, you know? And so they said, you're going to the CEO. He is just gonna, oh my God, he is so pissed. Well, okay, great, I'll go talk to him. But, and then the OB's arguing, like holding up, you know, her societal guidelines. And I'm like, okay, where do societal guidelines rank on the list of evidence-based, the strength of evidence-based medicine? It's last. It's after anecdotal cases, because they're wrong and they don't change it for 20 years. So it's nuts. So I go to the CEO and he's like, he goes, listen, my wife has been going to these bozos for the last decade and no one's gotten her better. 2 visits at your office and she's dramatically better. I'll take care of the doctors. I'm like, you won't. There's no way. Let's just change the name, da da da. And I go over to this pediatric kind of satellite, and he was into it. He's like, this is really neat. And then the nurse goes, you got an emergency call. He's like, no, I'm busy. He goes, no, you have to take this call. So it was the OB telling him not to talk to me, you know? And long story short, they said, we can't have you in here, you know? But it just goes to show that they don't want patients better. And this was, now I get it, because I see it all the time, is that if you're, let's say a doctor's beaten on a patient for 10 years, can't get them better, they come to you and you get them better and send them back, do you think they're happy? No. Yeah, it's a shame. And I used to be very mad at doctors, but they're in a bad spot. We've given it up to, you know, insurance companies and big pharma.
And administrations of different kinds.
Yep, yep. And it's funny, I did a paper on how to fix healthcare reform. Spent a lot of time on it, but I had to get it to someone big. Couldn't get the people I wanted. Someone knew Speaker of the House, Ryan. So got it to him. He sent the paper saying, I had to sign, saying I will never quote him and blah, blah, blah. So basically sends back a short letter. It says, well, your proposal is very interesting, but quote, do you know how many people are slurping off the trough of the healthcare industrial machine?
Complex, yes.
Yeah. And it's true. Yeah, big pharma owns the world, man.
Yeah, they started a long, long time ago at the turn of the 20th century.
Yeah, and it's like we were talking, why, you know, with all the studies on PEMF, why isn't everyone using it? And it's how many people have been harmed by PEMF? But the doctors are like, oh, here's 50 studies showing, you know, what you're doing isn't great. We have a better therapy. No. I don't believe in those studies.
Yeah. They don't. It doesn't matter how much evidence you present. And I've made this quote multiple times during the summit that I've said, a mind forced to change its will is of the same opinion still.
And I have to remember that because I always get into, I'm better. I'm way better. You know, you think you can overpower them with evidence. Doesn't work.
No, they have to be open to it. Yeah. And if you're threatening their paradigm, if you're threatening their credibility, it's not going to work. So, I decided a long time ago, just like you have, actually, I don't know if you're still tilting at the windmill, but I decided a long time ago, I learned this actually when I was a medical director of managed care. And I knew what managed care was doing to try to prevent certain things from happening, including things like paying for acupuncture. And I knew that the only way to beat that system is to do like we're doing at the summit. Is to go directly to the public. Because COVID, I think COVID has done us a favor. People had to get healthcare on their own.
Yeah, you know, they realized that standard government, which they put on a pedestal, they got it so wrong. You can't believe how wrong they got it. But there's a reason for it.
There's a big reason for it.
Yep, yep.
So anyway, so you learned through your own journey, right? Through your own journey, that you had to design your own healthcare approach, right?
Right. And that's what people have to do. They're starting to realize that, as you're saying. But so many people, and I've learned too, it's like, and so many people are sick. They're stressed out of their mind. Like I have to carry lab slips when I go to a party, you know? And what I found is that I don't even push it. They have to beg. They have to go do something because 90% of them won't do anything. My doctors, like, well, they talk to me like, oh, I'm so sick, this. I'm like, well, I think this is. My doctor said I don't have that. Well, how's that working for you? You know? And they won't change.
Well, when it comes to PEMF therapy, patients would often tell me, well, I'm going to go talk to my doctor about it. So I think, go ahead and do that. I'll tell you what, I'll loan you my book.
Yeah, he knows nothing. He knows less than nothing about
it. I said, don't even bother. If you want me to talk to your doctor, I'll be glad to. If they're willing to give me a call, we can have that discussion.
There you go. There you go.
And of course, they don't. They never do. So my patients learned over time, there's no point talking to your doctor about it.
Yep. Yep.
And we can give them the science and we can give them the rationale for why we do what we do, right? We can support it easily enough. And of course, the results talk for themselves, right?
Yeah. Like I had a patient, he said he went to the endocrinologist, showed him a review article, and he goes, you got to read this. This is, oh my God, it's changed my life. And he goes, this is a terrible study. I read it. And he goes, no, you haven't. It isn't out yet. and he just threw it in the trash and said, I don't have to read it.
Because I know.
Yep. Yep.
So your journey taught you that you have to put together your own healthcare program. So what you said, peptides, you said hormones, and what else did you include in your program?
Yeah, I mean, there's just, yeah, there is so many things in terms of, you know, and we did do PEMF, but I was originally taught that it was just for soft tissue, right? And, but, you know, a lot of IV therapies, basically hormones. We were doing high dose antibiotics, like for chronic Lyme and these. I found it doesn't work. We use so little antibiotics now, because it's the problem is the immune system. And when you have basically two sides of your immune system, you got like, then it's oversimplification, like anything with the immune system is. TH1 gets stuff inside your cell, TH2 gets stuff outside your cell. And then with any aging, your thymus involutes with stress, toxins, chronic infection, autoimmune disease, it starts going like this. So you can't fight intracellular infections or cancer, but you have all this inflammation. So, and then that causes mitochondrial dysfunction. Okay, yeah, body goes in the cell danger response, which is kind of an isolated part of that. You get pineal hypothalamic pituitary hormone dysfunction. You get hypercoagulation. You get, you know, basically gastrointestinal dysfunction. Your sleep center's on fire, so you can't get sleep. And it just goes around and around and around. You can't detoxify because there's no cellular energy, and everything's a, you know, and then you get reactivating infections that now make it worse. So what, you know, kind of what causes it becomes chicken or the egg, but you got to unwind all these different parts. So you really have to be, you know, the problem is too, in medicine, you got your gastroenterologist, you got your cardiologist, you got your neurologist. They don't want to think outside that, you know, and you can't. It happens to be hooked together.
Yeah, I had a patient one time, to go to your point, who was put on statins. And he went to a mall, forgot who he was, forgot where he was, forgot why he was there. He had global amnesia. And it was the statins. He stopped the statins and his memory problems basically went away.
Now, what if that happened after he did PEMF?
Yes. What if that global amnesia happened after he did PEMF? Is that what you're saying?
I would be all over the news.
Totally.
Yeah. I like Robbins. He tells patients first visit, he does like intravenous ozone gas. And he says, I can take my prescription pad out and kill you. Nothing will happen to me. If I harm you with this gas, I'm going to jail. So it's, yeah, we don't have the luxury of saying, well, this is what the side effects say, you know. But the nice thing is the things that we're talking about have lower side effects than anything I've ever seen.
Right. Yeah, when I made the switch from conventional medicine to alternative medicine, people were walking out of the office smiling.
Yeah.
They were functionally better than they ever were when I did conventional medicine.
How many people walk out of a standard doctor's office smiling?
Smiling?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I learned when I learned acupuncture was that people did leave the office smiling. Okay. Or at least they had a glaze.
Yeah, yeah. But it's scary. You know, you got to be your own health advocate now. You know, uh-huh. You can't go by what your doctor says.
Did you discover peptides first and then magnetic field therapy, or what was the sequencing there?
No, we had PEMF first, but we were very much underutilizing it because the guy who sold it to us said, you know, it's for joints and soft tissue and that.
Okay. Yeah, we still get some of that. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book Power Tools for Health, is that it's way beyond that. There are people who still say, it's not for healing.
What's it for?
It's for making you feel better. It's for helping you with your aches and pains, but it's not going to heal you. So the high-intensity systems, now you have a high-intensity magnetic system, right? Your high-intensity magnetic system will cause muscle contractions, right?
Yeah.
So you have people out there in the community who are selling PMF devices that are mattress pad systems. They can cost $6,000 for one of those machines. $6,000. And then they're telling everybody, you don't get high intensity, it'll hurt you. But the same people who are selling that pitch know nothing about magnetic field therapy.
It's easier that way.
There's salespeople.
You can sell it easier.
You don't have to be rational, you don't have to be scientific. So we know that's not true, because actually now we have FDA approved machines, right? That for treatment resistant depression, for Parkinson's, for OCD, that basically are treating the brain at very high intensities.
It's kind of like, you know, with COVID and vitamin D, why aren't we giving everyone vitamin D? You know, it's sense. And no, let's go with the vaccine route. You know, it's just.
Oh, that's a whole nother ball game, isn't it?
Yeah, I won't, black helicopters are coming.
So you started with high intensity magnetic fields. Why did you incorporate that into your work?
Because I was at a conference and I said, all right, let me check this weird pulsating thing out, right? And I don't think I'd had anyone lecture on it yet. And I had terrible back spasms, you know? And so I did it, and I'm like, and I don't like massages. They kind of freak me, because I had allodynia, where if anyone touched my skin, I would just, oh. And so massage is never really my thing. And then I'm like, oh my God, I can move my neck like quickly, you know, within a minute, 2 minutes. It was like, wait a minute. You know, what was the name of this damn thing? Yeah. So with that, so I had to get it and share it. And then, that's when you start doing research. Now I got it. And I am still blown away at all the studies, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of studies all showing this. It's just crazy. But I have a whole piece on our nonprofit, the National Academy of Hypothyroidism and Integrative Sciences, nahypothyroidism.org, which I started just to show that the way we're treating thyroid in this country is just wrong, right? And wrote 2 review articles, you know, 500 references each. But the question, you probably get this all the time too, if this is so great, why doesn't my doctor know about it? And so it answers that question. So if you go to nahypothyroidism.org, if you're wondering about that, read that and it will tell you.
Yeah, we see this. I used to see it all the time in practice as well. I do, as you said, a reverse T3, or I do a free T3, free T4, TSH. I almost always ignored the TSH, right? Because it's all about the free T3 and T4.
Oh, I get calls. Your patient's hyperthyroid. Well, their pulse is 40. Their basal metabolic rate is 20% low. They're freezing cold and they're gaining, you know, 3 pounds a week. Is that hypermetabolic?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like no sense.
So anyway, the device you had, I think we talked about this before we started, that probably is the PMF 120, which is one of the earliest devices available that were higher intensity. The history behind that is the guy that developed it built the first wind farm in North America.
Really?
In California. First wind farm. And he was approached by somebody who imported a device from Greece called the Papini, which is basically a horrible machine. And people were importing it into the US and doing studies on it. And they actually had an IRB, an Institutional Review Board, approval from the FDA. Unfortunately, the doctors were too gung-ho. And they started making outrageous claims that were publicly visible about curing cancer. All of a sudden, the FDA swooped in and collected all the machines, confiscated the machines.
They protect their turf, man.
So the guy that brought them into the U.S. from Greece went to this guy that had the wind farm, who is a physicist, and said, can you duplicate this machine or improve on it? Which he did. They actually improved on it dramatically, huge improvement. And that's the beginning of a whole series of machines that he's developed at high intensity.
I did not know that. That's cool.
And of course, we, you know, people are wiser now. They don't make those kinds of outrageous claims. And having been part of an IRB is a two-edged sword. And it cuts bad both ways.
Yeah. Now, but if you're doing it during if you're using it during the course of your treatment, you technically don't need an IRB, but.
Well, actually, as an MD, as a physician, you can do whatever you want in your practice. You just can't do it across state borders because of the FTC. And within your practice, as long as you tell people this is an alternative therapy that's not supported by science in the community in general, which is also, not right.
Some people don't know about it, but.
Unfortunately, as you said before, it's extraordinarily safe. Even not used properly, but used properly, it's amazingly safe.
Yeah, even if someone was just nuts, I don't see how they could harm them. Like, would they hold it there and their heads fall? I mean, it's just like, oh, a stove's so dangerous. Well, I think they'll move their hand if they, touch it.
Well, there are contraindications, clearly. One of the most important contraindications is implanted electronics. But these days, those implanted electronics are actually MR conditionals. So even with those, we are less concerned. And you could do up to 15,000 Gauss, basically without having to worry about it. But there is one contraindication that I follow, and that is that you shouldn't be messing around with organ transplants.
Yeah, and the problem is, too, there's some things I don't treat, not because I think it will harm it, but if something happens, and they have a lot of stuff happens, they're going to blame that. And their doctors are going to blame it.
Yeah, I totally agree. So what things would you not treat?
When I say that, after I just said it, I'm like, I end up doing it usually. But you have the right patient, right? That, a educated patient is your best friend. Because when they go home, okay, they're feeling great and they're all happy. Then their husband says, oh, this is quackery. And the neighbors say it. Then their doctor says it. And they're feeling great. Now they're pissed. Look what this guy did to me. And you don't have a chance to, refute it. So that's one thing we spend a lot of time educating patients, which sounds like you do, because they're your best friend. People who don't know are going to get swayed and say it's voodoo, throwing a chicken around the air, whatever, and that's what we find, with the peptides, and they're like, oh, they're so great, why is everyone using them? Well, we're trying to get everyone to use them.
Peptides are complicated, in many ways more complicated than PEMFs.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And California banned them, basically, which is crazy. And now they're banning glutathione and vitamin C.
California?
Yeah. And like thymosin alpha 1 was shown to be number of studies showing so it boosts the thymic peptide. So as you get older, your thymus involutes. And that basically causes your immune system to age, basically. And also, if you have like a constant stimulus, whether it's environmental, a chronic infection, cancer, the T cells all shut down. So they get T cell exhaustion. And this is just really low. So we can really judge how sick a patient is, correlates with their symptoms, how old they are, what kind of health they are, just looking at that balance of that immune system. And we found fixing that just fixes so many things. The hormones go back, the mitochondria are a little more difficult because if they're like senescent, I don't want to get too into the weeds here, but you have to kill those cells, which people go, oh my gosh, I don't know. But no, your body's killing bad cells all the time. The problem is this immune system's so low, it can't do its job and kill these bad cells, let's say you got them in the heart, they're not heart cells that are pumping, they're basically sitting there pumping out all this oxidation. And then they recruit other cells. And if you just getting, and this is, I think, going to be the biggest breakthrough in, you know, anti-aging or whatever you want to call it, but just getting rid of those senescent cells selectively, it reverses diabetes, heart failure, the neurodegenerative diseases. And the thing is, so if, let's say, you boost the mitochondria, which a lot of things do, but now you're boosting the mitochondria that are just pumping out inflammation, you're not doing a good thing. And you're wondering, why is this patient feeling terrible, you know? And so it's timing is key.
Timing is key.
Yeah. And you look at, you know, what is, even the CDC states that 80% of people of age people, whatever have at least one disease that is due to the involution of the thymus. So why wouldn't you just give everyone thymic peptides? You know, just, it's like replacing the thymus and fix the immune system, and heart disease go down, cancer, you know, infections, name it. It just boggles my mind. Everyone's like, well, you give everyone that. Like, yeah, you should.
Oh, who doesn't need it?
Yeah.
If you're older than 24, who doesn't need it?
Yeah. And they're like, well, it's normal to be low. Well, it's normal to get cancer too. Are you not going to treat it? You know?
Well, actually, you could argue, quite frankly, that it's not normal to be 45 or 50.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are getting sicker, younger. We're living longer, but you're stuck in a nursing home and demented and in and out of the hospital, congestive heart failure. Who wants to live like that? And I think, like we were talking before we recorded, that stress, you know, stress is a killer. People think stress lowers your immune system. It doesn't. It modulates it. It lowers that TH1, but it raises that TH2. So you get a lot more inflammation with stress, but you can't fight intracellular infections. You can't fight cancer. And it's, so stress is like aging.
What helps stress?
Yeah, it's like, hey, stop being stressed, you know?
Right, right.
It's pretty tough.
Here's your prescription. Stop being stressed.
Yeah. And then they come back, like, I told you, you know, they won't listen.
Yeah. So thymosin is called thymosin, right? Is an injectable, or how is it delivered?
Yeah, it depends on, there's thymosin alpha 1, it was approved as an orphan drug in the U.S., proven 37 countries for cancer and hepatitis. So what it does is raise that TH1, right? So kills cancer, kills infections. The problem was people were using it for COVID and it was working and it was safe and effective. So they made sure you can't get it. You know, it's crazy. So, but there's a lot of different thymic peptides. So we have integrated peptides. I was the founder of, I've kind of pushed off some trying to do clinical trials, but another dumb thing for all my sins, right? But a fragment is actually much more potent than the whole molecule. And it lowers also human transforming growth factor beta, which causes fibrosis and tons of inflammation. And so it specifically will attack that. So we're finding too, and we're starting to get what we call bioregulators. They're just bipeptides, so two amino acids stuck together, and they can have huge effects, you know? And we used to think kind of hormones kind of controlled everything, but the peptides are another layer that fine tune everything. And for instance, with, now this was a rat study, but they had 135 rats, all menopausal. They gave them Epitalon, which is pineal hormone, pineal peptide, and all of them started menstruating, and 35% had live births.
And they were aged?
Yeah, they're all menopausal.
Menopausal.
Yeah.
So what do you advise your perimenopausal women?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Somewhere I don't have a period, but if and also you look at a huge, I think probably the most anti-aging is by Epitalon, especially when you combine it with a thymic peptide. They had a 15-year study of people over the age 65 with significant cardiovascular disease, and they followed them, and they only gave them like 6 doses.
What did they give them?
Oh, they gave them Epitalon, which is pineal peptide. So another one is pinealin and a thymosin. And they actually use thymulin, which is, it's a little more anti-inflammatory, but they all are similar, but have differences. And they just followed them for 15 years. And they found the people who got that combination, their cardiovascular function got better. They had less infection, they had less cancer, and they lived significantly longer. And they've had studies, they can't find a toxic dose. They gave them 1,000 times the dose IV, nothing. Try that with water, you're dead, you know? But so if you want to do, you know, we have all these things for anti-aging, I'm like, I don't eat right, I'll just take a shot. People have a problem sleeping. I've had, because it turns out that I had Lyme, Babesia, Bartonella growing up. You know, my arm would stop working. One pupil was always bigger than the other. And I was out in my, all of a sudden, my girlfriend's kids said, your eye is so cool. Wow, I'm like, what are you talking about? I go in, my pupil's just blown, right? And I'm like, I got to go to the hospital. So usually it's a bleed or usually a clot. So I go in and I'm giving them studies saying, can you get me this? Can you get me even just progesterone, protect my brain? And they're like, oh, we'll take the studies. They're like, will you give it to me? No. You know, so I'm calling people and they're sneaking peptides in, which works great for traumatic brain injury, protecting brain, all those things. And everything came out negative. But I had forgotten that I had started antibiotics a week before. So it was kind of my Herxheimer, you know? And it's been a weird ride. I thought at maybe one point I'd be happy that I got sick, but I would never wish, you know, when I say Lyme, it's always something else. Like, and I had Bartonella, which my vessels were so big, they were like pipes. And I remember some kid saying, oh, daddy, what's wrong with that guy, you know? And so I got him sclerose, but then I got rid of Bartonella. I now have no veins. But Babesia is the nastiest one, I think. And it really suppresses your immune system. And it's hard to get. I remember we had one lady who had terrible Babesia. We used to have at the time, we did live cell, so we could look at them, and we had immunofluorescing antibodies, which were very specific. So you could tell. I have never seen more bugs ever. And so we put her on, you know, quadruple anti-malaria, anti-babesia, checked her 3 months later. There's more, you know, it's like they ate it for dinner, but because she had no immune system. And we're finding because so many docs, it's let's just keep rotating antibiotics. Okay, 5 years, 7 years, and you wonder why the studies are mixed, right? And plus, you really don't know what you're treating because, yeah, they may have Lyme, but they could have, you know, 20 different things that we can't test for. But we see the picture, and it's interesting.
Everybody has EBV.
Yeah, and so what you find is that will be positive because the Lyme or Babesia have suppressed the Th1. Now those come back out, and now the doctors think it's the viruses, but it becomes chicken or the egg because those also suppress the immune system. So it becomes everything in medicine is a vicious cycle.
How do you incorporate PEMF in your practice with everything else you're doing?
It's probably good for doctors to say how you make money. I'm not good at making money. I give too many things away. My accounting tries not to let me see patients, but it's free reign. You can use it as much as you want. So
you don't have an order that you use things?
Yeah, they'll just say, look, you can do that. I suggest you do this much, come in every day. And we find that works. Like depression, I was very surprised. Anxiety, of course, anything healing, we treat vets for free. And we just had a guy with post-traumatic stress, and he had a rod in his leg and terrible pain, and no more pain. We have ALS patients come in wheelchairs. They're jogging. They go back to the neurologist. They're like, oh, it must have been a misdiagnosis. Well, three of you have misdiagnosed it then, you know, and they won't. Do they ask what you do? No. But that's, there is a med, Riluzole, which is for ALS, but doesn't work, but I like it for anxiety. It works for anxiety. It blocks GABA in the brain. But so we were thinking of doing actually ALS because I didn't realize it was an orphan drug, an orphan illness, a rare illness. So that may be one of the ones we do. But
what were you doing for the ALS patients?
Yeah, it came down to get rid of the inflammation, immune modulation. And they always have an infection. It's usually the triad is infection, stress, especially emotional stress, and which goes against people because like it's a mom who, let's say their husband died and that's when everything happens, but the emotional stress really sets everything off. And then some sort of environmental toxin, which most people have. And then it just, there's a tipping point, and it just, because once you suppress it, now other infections come out. And it's kind of like now we're seeing monkeypox, you know, which no one got. Your immune system, everyone's immune system shot. And I shouldn't talk more about the damn vaccines, but, you know, the more you're vaccinated, the more likely you're going to get COVID. And we did a trial, and we did natural killer cell function before and after vaccines, and they were significantly lower. But I sure the heck wasn't going to try to publish that. And then, you know, people get mad at you for telling them.
Patients get mad at you?
Yeah. I mean, I tell them don't do it. Or I had a doctor who was sitting in the parking lot of a facility and give her a shot. And she's like, talk me out of it. And I'm like, trying to talk her out of it. She goes, okay, I won't do it. She ends up getting it because all her colleagues got it. She was in bed for 6 months and she's still not right. But it has nothing to do with the injection. But for the people out there, it's your own choice, but
it's a choice. I heard recently that the spike protein actually is activating latent viruses.
And if you ask like the OBs, tons of cervical cancer from HPV because it's coming back out. But because they're wrecking the immune system, they're going to get, I better stop. But and there's been no long-term trial. They didn't even do a short-term trial. Okay, what is the biggest, like basically sin to do is do a study and you have an endpoint, which was reduction in death. They go, oh, we're not going to make that. Let's have it reduction in symptoms in the hospital. No one else would be allowed to do that. Then they took the placebo group and gave them the vaccine. So now you can't compare side effects. And so when people are like the whole ivermectin thing, like, oh my God, there's hundreds and hundreds, and it was won the Nobel Prize, and it's probably the most prescribed drug, but oh, it's a horse dewormer. There's more studies on that than there are on the vaccine. And now they're doing 5-year-olds. Oh, I was going to say.
What would you do for somebody who had the vaccine? How would you tell them to protect themselves?
So many people, like, they don't say anything, but if you ask them, they still have brain fog. They don't feel right after the vaccine because, you know, the studies where it was first, oh, it incorporates in the DNA. Oh, that's impossible. Well, studies show that it can. And who knows, when does it turn off? But the spike protein is the poison, you know? So you want to do thing really fine is modulate the immune system. And it's interesting, like we do huge panels. I'm a fan of huge panels initially, so you know what's going on. An autistic kid looks just about the same as a Lyme patient. You know, it's the immune system. So we first fix the immune system, then we'll do things to block the spike protein that's hanging around, and there's pieces of the spike protein from binding. We like stem cells too, which we usually get people's smell back in like 4 days with that. But it's kind of weird. It's kind of feel like we're cheating because the same principle works in all these illnesses, you know? And in fact, we want to do a risk mitigation for vaccination and looking at people's immune system, right? And you can tell who's going to have an issue, and it totally fits. And older, less, you know, less healthy, diabetics, autoimmune, their immune system's already like this. So now just gonna go like that. So they're all different, but the underlying pathophysiology is often the same. So these therapies, and I'll take, you know, ozone, I like IVIG if I can get it, you know, but they've kind of made that ridiculous. Plasmapheresis, I like, especially adding ozone. It's funny, I went to the hospital, I said, how much to do a plasmapheresis? They said, I don't know, but we'll give you 90% off. And I'm like, okay, that sounds great. Can you go see how much that is? And they came back and said, well, $38,000. I go, oh, 90% off of that? No, that's with the 90% off.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, for one treatment.
One treatment?
One treatment. Yeah, so it's nice because it filters out, you're getting ozone, so you're basically oxidizing all the toxins and all the pathogens, and then, you know, it's filtering, and then you're getting ozone the whole time. So it's, and there's a dialysis and a plasmapheresis. I flew to Puerto Vallarta to see Omar at Lyme, Mexico, and we were cooking up a lot of just interesting stuff, and the plasmapheresis, I always felt better immediately. And that's when we did the dendritic cell therapy. As I read, I was reading about how dendritic cells, which are the cells that will like see a tumor or an infection and present that to the rest of the immune system. And I was reading that they're screwed up in cancer. Then the same day, I'm reading a different journal, and it says dendritic cells are screwed up in Lyme. And what they do is they stop secreting IL-12. Which stimulates TH1. So I started calling like Cancer Centers of America. I said, can you do a dendritic cell? If I bring Lyme antigens in, will you stimulate? And they're like, are you crazy? I'm calling the police, you know? And so I went down to Mexico and brought the Lyme antigens, and he expanded them and, you know, stimulated them, and it really did work. Then we screwed up. We tried to freeze them so I could take them home, and then that's where we messed them up. But I'd like to try it again. But so we're actually looking to have a center in Mexico because, you know, people keep saying, oh, the FDA, they've been doing this. They've been going after all these. Like if we lose peptides and they want to take away hormones, they want to take away everything. Like they said, curcumin. No, we have non-steroidals. You don't need curcumin. You know, it's just nuts. But I think that it's going to go bad. So I hope not. I hope I'm wrong. But
well, and hopefully we won't go bad with PMF therapy, right?
I couldn't imagine, because I don't know what they're going to, you know, come after you for. But I mean, it's so safe. Who's going to? You know, all the harm it's done, you know.
Well, if we don't make, if people don't make claims, stupid claims.
Claims are the biggest thing. And, yeah.
Well, the FDA basically considers PMF therapy to be wellness equipment, as long as you don't make claims. So if you're making wellness claims for the PMF therapy, you're okay. And you don't even need PMF, you don't even need FDA approval. I have a friend who actually went down and tried to submit for FDA approval. He said, don't even bother, go away.
Yeah, and that's why I think ozone's been allowed, because if a doctor's not selling it, it's just in their office, they can do it, you know.
Your license does allow you to do that. Any last words you want to say about PMF, integrating PMF therapy with everything you're doing?
God, you know, it's just, yeah, the problem is, like, you know, with peptides, you know, go through each peptide. I don't think it's going to help anyone, you know. But they have peptides, they control very specific parts of the body. They're short on, short off. They work on the cell surface where hormones go into the cell, basically attach to the DNA, and they're slow on, slow off. So the peptides tend to be much safer, but they are also epigenetic, and most things end up being epigenetic. So they'll stimulate the body to stop making, say, you know, oxidative stress and start making more antioxidants. So they're pleiotropic, meaning they do a lot of things, which people like, we like drugs that do one thing, but it's actually opposite, that supplements are all pleiotropic. They do a lot of things. It's when you do that one thing is it screws everything up. And that's when you find you have more side effects. But that's standard medicine from, you know, from day one.
Well, A plus B equals C. And
yeah,
it's predictable. A plus B equals C.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's never that way. It's always A plus B plus X equals C.
And then the mechanism they think is not what's going on. Yeah, yeah. Like antidepressants, you know. Or antidepressants, like people are like, oh, T3. Largest study ever done on antidepressants, Star Report, showed that T3 was a better antidepressant than antidepressants. Less side effects, and it worked when the other ones didn't. But they didn't make it into the abstract because they didn't contribute. And, or another study, treatment resistance by bipolar, 135 patients. They didn't respond to, on average, 14 different medications, no response. They just gave them all T3, doesn't matter what their levels were. 70 something responded, and 25, 27% total resolution of symptoms. Like, why aren't the psychiatrists doing this?
But let me ask you, let me be a devil's advocate.
Okay, I like that.
Right? If I rev you up with T3, then you just think you're okay.
But no, because people actually get calmer. You know, if you're revved up, which we'll see. If you give, especially T4, but because what happens is with mitochondrial dysfunction, we're taught that, at least endocrinologists are taught, that the whatever's in the serum diffuses into the cell, but it needs active transport from the mitochondria, and the mitochondria or the transporters for T3 are much more energy dependent, T4 are much more energy dependent than T3. So that's why T3 works. There's no one thing, you know, there's, something works for everyone, but nothing, you know, works for everyone. And so, I mean, I love it. I love heparin. I find so many people are hypercoagulable. What else do I love? Again, we're really immune modulation, and we're coming out because they got rid of thymus and alpha 1. So we did some studies with metabolomics, and we found two very short thymic peptides that actually were more potent. So those should be out in a couple weeks, but
out by whom? Where would somebody get that?
Yeah, with integrated peptides, thymogen alpha 1, and it's bipeptide and thymogen, which is a tripeptide. So they orally active, and then we're doing mouse sprays. So we're gonna have a lot of unique delivery systems. And for instance, KPV, which is the terminal fragment of alpha melanocyte stimulating hormone, which a lot of doctors would give for Lyme because it's hugely anti-inflammatory. The problem is you turn tan, which you think is great, But if you're older, you get blotchy. And I did it, and I'm ADD. I'm like, this isn't working. I went higher. Oh my gosh, I was so done. I looked like some weird painted person. But and it is, we've been out with supply chain stuff, and it just knocks inflammation down like crazy. And you don't get any of the tanning. So you do that. BPC is like the go-to for heals gut, heals really anything, traumatic brain injury. And then you basically add a thymosin in there, cerebrolysin. So it's been approved for 38 years for dementia. It's porcine brain peptides. And again, they banned that because too many people were using it safe and effective. And, but we have it, this is licensed from the manufacturer, and we have a great testimonial. This person had traumatic brain injury for, it was like 10 years. And after 2 days, she's like, I'm a new person, you know?
That's cerebral license.
Yeah, it's called CerebroPep. Yeah. Like, okay, go do it every day. And I found it makes such a difference because, but people tend not to, it's like too easy. It's easy to do. It's easy not to do. And, but if you get them to do it, it makes everything work better. Do it more often did make a big leap, you know, and in the benefit and whatever they were doing, it just made it so much better.
What I recommend is that people write a contract. The patients have to write a contract because what happens is life intervenes.
Yes, yes.
If you lay money down and you write a contract for 5 visits or 10 visits, you're going to go back. And the timing becomes really important to do it in the right sequencing, because then you lose the momentum, right? The cumulative benefits that you get if you're breaking up the treatment plan. So commit to a program, and then people will get better results.
I think that's smart. Is there an inexpensive home model?
So I recommend that people get my book, Supercharge Your Health with PEMF Therapy. In the book, I talk about the different kinds of magnetic systems for different kinds of problems. No one size fits all. And I do believe that you can go into a practitioner's office with the right piece of equipment and get benefit in that office. But if you have a chronic condition, which we've been talking about, chronic immune condition, you're going to need chronic help. So you should bridge, you should do something for yourself that you can combine with whatever you're doing in a doctor's office.
It may not be the most powerful, but you're getting, you know, the treatment.
On a regular basis. And drpollock.com has those devices. And I offer consultations to people to get the best piece of equipment for their home use.
That's worth your money instead of buying the wrong thing.
It is, because people do pay $6,000 for a 1,000 machine, and they're getting very little value from it. Thanks again for your time today.
Thank you. I always really enjoy speaking with you and learning, and I just love it. I'm a sponge whenever you say anything.
And likewise. You know the peptides, I know the PEMFs.